Welcome to Coaching Q. This latest audio blog has been inspired by some work I've been doing with a group of players over the last number of months, since around last July, and it's essentially all around the consistent messaging for players, simple player mantras. All these are simple trigger words to evoke a certain reaction or response within the players, and the consistency comes from the fact that these messages are delivered at every contact with the players, be that a training session or a match or a video analysis session or any time essentially that coaches are interacting with the players. The same messages are used so that there's no confusion and absolute clarity around what's expected of the players in terms of the jobs and the roles and responsibilities within a team. They can be as simple as one-word triggers, like reaction. We recently worked on transition to defend, and the simple word that we used was reaction, so that every time we lost the ball, there was a reaction from the players nearest to the ball and those around it in terms of getting it back. To mantras that have a few more words in them, like when we're in possession of the ball, just to make the pitch big or to use the space, find the space. So things like that. They're very, very simple, and what I've noticed over the last number of weeks and months is that they're starting to become the basis of the team talks. So every week, the messages are simple, they're consistent, they're clear, and players start to understand that, you know, we're not asking them to do different things every week, we're asking them to do the same stuff over and over again. And I think that helps them in terms of achieving these goals, and in terms of being fairness from us in terms of what we're expecting from the players. It's the same two or three messages over and over again. So very simply, we begin and we work as a team, so there's team messages. And then within those team messages, there's unit messages, and they could be simple things like just taking responsibility within a unit, or being a leader within a unit, or communication amongst the whole team. What we're essentially trying to do is get to a point where we have leaders all around the pitch. Another reason we've started to implement these mantras is for when players make mistakes. And there is a psychology to making mistakes. Some players react really poorly to making a mistake, and some players get spurred on by them. So what we're trying to do by finding a trigger word or a mantra is just to find something that the players do when they make a mistake that gets their head back in the game and gets them switched on again. For some players, it's as simple as if they make a mistake, they stamp their feet, or if they make a mistake, they pull their socks up and adjust their jersey. Something simple that just lets them not think about the mistake too long and get their mind back in the game. We found, and I've found over the years, that long lectures don't work. They have their time and place when you're doing analysis work or video analysis work, and you get into a little bit of discussion or debate with players as to the whys and hows that things went wrong or could have been better. But in terms of before games, players a lot of the time are anxious just to play, and all they want to do is get warmed up and go and play. So long lectures don't work. We've tried to curtail our team talks in recent weeks down to kind of 10 minutes and have those key messages, you know, just reiterated during that 10-minute spell. And then we get into a warm-up where some of the little trigger words are still consistently used throughout the warm-up. So players are really, right up to the last minute, made aware of what's expected from them. I've talked in previous blogs about simplicity, and the best coaches I've worked with just give simple instructions. So rather than overcomplicate things, during the training, during the week, you can certainly work on the tactical aspects of what you expect from the players. But in terms of giving them instruction, I think it should be just, you know, simple words and simple phrases. I've mentioned earlier, when we're in possession of the ball, all we ask the team to do is make the pitch big. Just to exploit the space, spread out and find somewhere on the pitch where you've got a little bit of room to get the ball. And when we're out of possession, when we lose the ball, all we want to see is a quick reaction to try and get it back. And if we don't, then just to become compact, tight and narrow as a team, so that teams can play through us. When we transition to attack, when we've won the ball, we immediately say to the players, just counter if we can, and if we can't, build and keep possession. It's that simple. And when we're transitioning to defend, as I said previously, you know, win it back early and delay the opposition if we can't. And then we go down to, say, the player-specific roles. And it's pretty simple stuff, but just to give you some examples. For our goalkeeper, all we would like him to do is, you know, get the team organised early. He's the one player on the pitch that can see all the players in front of him. So we want him to communicate and help our defence get set and taking charge at set pieces and free kicks and corners and stuff like that. So he organises us. He also manages the game, and that he's our first attacker, and he begins and dictates the tempo of our game. So I think it's really important the goalkeeper understands his role within that team structure. When we talk to our centre-halves, we consistently reiterate the fact that defenders defend. Yes, we want them to play out from the back when the keeper has the ball, and we want them to begin our attacks, but ultimately their primary role is to defend. And our centre-halves, we expect to command the back four unit or back three unit, depending on the shape we play. Again, like the keeper, early organisation and plenty of communication from our centre-halves is an absolute given. Simple mantras for the likes of our full-backs are just to block crosses, take care of the wide players, you know, look for the ball from the keeper again when we look to play out, keep good possession, simple passing into midfield or beyond, and just to make good decisions about how to take care of the ball. Also, just to offer cover to the centre-halves when we defend. Again, just as with the centre-halves, a full-back's primary role is to defend. Yes, we want to encourage them to get forward and attack, but ultimately they're in our defensive unit and we would like them to defend first and foremost. Simple mantras for our central midfield players are to find a teammate. These are the guys that we expect to want to get on the ball all the time. The team that I'm involved with primarily play a 4-3-3. And within that, we expect the three guys in the middle of the park to want the ball all the time. To encourage rotation, if one drops in to get it and the ball isn't coming for whatever reason, that they spin out and the next player comes in and gets it. So that all three are naturally comfortable on the ball and want to get us playing as quick as possible. But one other thing we stress to the central players, whoever they are or whatever shape that we play, is that the central area of the pitch is the area of the pitch that we want to control most. So we want them to compete in there, and that's both aerially and on the ground. We want them to make sure that they compete for tackles, compete for every second ball in there. I think that's very important. When we talk about our wide players, we essentially talk about them, you know, exploiting the width of the pitch, getting crosses in or playing passes into the centre forward. If they cross it, we would like them to cross to the front post low. And if they're crossing to the far post, cross high. But also not to forget their defensive duties. And we've worked very hard this season with our top three being our first defenders. So the minute we lose the ball, they themselves and their movement is the initial reaction and initial trigger to us winning it back. We want to press high if it's on. We want to press early if it's on. So these players are the first players to do that for us. In terms of our out-and-out front players, our strikers, we've often talked to them about the fact that they won't always get a perfect ball to their feet or into space. So try and turn bad balls good. Press when it's right to press. Put the opposition under pressure when it's right to do that. And if not, then to connect back in with the team and be part of our initial defensive unit. We've worked very hard this year with our strikers in terms of holding the ball up, how to shield it and when to lay it off and bring others into play. And also, in fact, then when they have good possession of the ball, when to spin and when to dribble at defenders in terms of taking on defenders and making their life difficult. We've also encouraged them all year to hit the target, to shoot. Shoot and hit the target. Don't shoot, don't score. So, as you can see, they're just simple little triggers. I've actually posted them up on at coaching badges in terms of the signs that we put up in the dressing room before the games, that players themselves can go and look at the various positions that they're playing in and the little basic key roles that are expected in that position. These are obviously interchangeable, and there will be days when we play different shapes in the team or indeed different tactics. And the key messages might change slightly, but generally in terms of that consistency, the primary messages are always the same. And those primary messages then come into training. So when we do any kind of session, it's the same key messages that we expect. They become our objectives from the training session. And then those same key messages ultimately roll up into the team talk before the game. And they become the game objectives. So very, very important. Certainly worth doing and doesn't have to be complicated. As I said, just interact with your players and find some key words and key triggers that the players understand and buy into. And then use them regularly. So look, again, as ever, I hope this helps. If you have any questions, please get in touch with me at Coaching Badges, and I hope to talk to you soon. Thanks.